Thursday is the rundown. It's August 29th.
30th.
30th. Almost Labor Day weekend, the official end of summer. For me, summer ended. Once I got back from Saratoga, I'm going in Michigan, Notre Dame, and Chicago. It's football season. When football season hits, it's fall.
For me, summer is just hot. Fucking summer sucks.
Get
me to the fall.
I had a full suit for our NFL gambling thing. I lost 30 pounds walking to work today.
You look
good.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could like say that I would be like, this is a suit.
You look like eye-popping. It's like,
yeah. Well, I bought it for
attention. I don't know if it's good attention, bad attention, but it's going to draw attention.
I bought it for the Kentucky Derby. My friend, close personal friend, Bryce Harper, when I was in Vegas, he's like, hey, go to this place, Stitched. They'll make you a custom suit. I picked these colors unseen because you buy it. Well, you see it, swatches, whatever. It was for the Kentucky Derby. I thought, even for me, it was a bit loud for the Kentucky Derby.
It's much like the
Paris. I would say the Derby, it works like this disgusting office walking around. It's, you know,
the jacket has yellow in it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Clashes with the office.
Yeah. Yep. It's presented by, I gotta get to this place. Who's sales for us? Who sold MGM Springfield?
Do you want me to go downstairs and find out?
I don't think we need to right now.
No, but I'd like to know who they're watching this. I want them to sell a trip for me to go there. I like to go to MGM Springfield. It's near UMass. Do a big package. I'm going to Chicago to host an event. I'm going all the way to Chicago.
Might
go to
go
my
home
state.
Yeah.
Do that. I'm willing to do that. Put the money. Get us going. MGM, it's the first of its kind casino in the middle of, it's not in the middle of nowhere. I'm fixing this ad.
It's the middle of somewhere.
It's not in the middle of nowhere. It's in Massachusetts. You don't have to go to Fox. You don't have to go to Mohegan. Those guys didn't advertise with us. These are, get me there. I like to gamble. I like Massachusetts.
It's crazy that Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun slept on us for this long.
Unbelievable.
It's right in between New York and Boston. The first two, whatever. MGM, Springfield, where to go.
Yep.
Yep.
A lot of people complain about seats. Shout out SeatGeek. I'm going to go right into this ad.
I think they hate
SeatGeek,
that. Whatever.
These guys need SeatGeek. Rundown, use the code Rundown, $10 off your first ticket purchase. Sometimes your brain works, sometimes it doesn't. It's working today because I mixed this subject together. SeatGeek, the perfect. Two people complain about tickets. We have Mark Jurich. Jurich is his dad was the AD at Louisville during the Patino scandal. Patino and him both fired. They moved the season tickets back from presumably like front great seats, let's say first. Yeah, courtside. He's probably middle. They didn't look like horrible seats, but he is bitching and moaning like lack of respect. You can't undo what he did here. His fingerprints are all over the program. Bro, he's not the AD anymore. The new AD gets those tickets. The fact you still have tickets.
Yeah, as simple as that. And like, even if you did think it was disrespectful, like you have to know that this email you write is going to get out there and you're just going to look like a fucking asshole.
Didn't he tweet it?
Well, there was some sort of like letter to the school.
You wrote an email.
It was an email. The best part.
That's just like, you know you're going to get roasted.
Leading the email with like, this email is not about tickets.
Yeah.
It's
fucking
clearly about the
tickets. Other guy, by the way, that we have, Patrick Reed, real good golfer. So he went to the Red Sox game. Now, Frankie talked to me because Frankie spends most of his time figuring out foreplay stuff. So he gave me this.
It's a very confusing tweet.
I think what he said, hey, PGA, thanks for the tickets in the line drive alley with my kids. I had to spend $650 to move to where everybody else in the PGA. My take on it is PGA got him the tickets. He didn't like sitting in the line drive area, but which to me is like, that means you're like third base side low, pretty decent tickets.
They're great seats. Yeah.
So, but everybody else was in a different section for free with PGA. He had to buy tickets to get where the PGA is, which would bother me if he was in the bleachers, but there's a chance PGA thought the line drive tickets were like the better tickets.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Totally, I mean, this guy, it's tough right before the fucking Ryder Cup. Like, we got 1 month, we want to be positive about this guy.
Well,
he's the assassin during the Ryder Cup. Every 2 years, he just goes crazy and we all have no choice but to fucking love him.
How many times has he done that?
The Ryder Cup thing?
Yeah.
Twice. So, but it's only every 2 years. So
the U.S. team is fairly unlikable, if we're being honest.
We're getting to a point. We talked about this
week. If you
don't
like him and you don't
like
JT.
We've got like JT. People don't like Bryson. People don't like...
But if they fucking win, then it's almost kind of like, yeah, we're the villains.
Bryson DeChambeau is on the Ryder Cup team?
He's very, very likely going to be a pick, especially after he won last week at the Northern Trust over in New Jersey. But we've also got Bubba. People obviously don't like Bubba.
Bubba,
people don't
like everyone hates Bubba. Bubba's people the most like... universally hated guy that everybody hates Bubba.
At least the other guys are unlikable in like kind of a badass way. Bubba's just...
Yeah, a lot of people just fucking hated Bubba forever. It's always because he always bitches at his caddy, which people obviously don't like that.
Right.
But we're developing a pretty unlikable handful of... Well, I've also been mean.
I sometimes switch, though. When you become unlikable, you start becoming likable.
You have to kind of embrace like the villain side of it.
But I hate all those guys. You know what? But if they did embrace it, you know what they'd be? They'd be the Greenwich Street Mean Posse.
Yeah. The problem is that a lot of their unlikable things are douchey things like this, complaining about tickets.
Well, that's why it's Greenwich City Mean Street Posse.
Right,
that's what they are.
I mean, stealing from your roommate and all that shit is like not cool. Cool villain, it's like dickhead.
Yeah, and also the pic that he posted was like not a great picture.
I mean, those girls
everything. It just
you gotta
looked,
know who you can and can't post and when you can and can't post.
It looked like a crew of like three fucking spoiled psychopaths just sitting there rattled at the Red Sox.
So, very like crazy eyes, right?
Yeah,
like crazy
time.
So who has the bigger gripe then about the tickets?
Who's more justified is what we're saying?
I guess. If you had to pick one, gun to head.
I still don't really know. I guess Patrick Reed, because if he did pay money to get better seats and didn't get better seats, then
if you had to pay $650 to just get with the other people from golf, that's a problem.
And you're the fucking Masters champ.
Right,
he's the reigning Masters champ.
But the only thing is, like, again, maybe they moved him like to the second deck or something with the other.
The
you know,
only
like
thing
the line
is,
drive zone.
I'm putting myself.
It's not a line, by the way. It's not. I've never heard that term in my life.
Me neither. It's like his family is in grave danger.
It'd be like I'm in touchdown zone or something. Like, dude, you're on the fucking.
You hear that? Is there any other kind?
Great quote.
Grave danger. Is there any other kind? The only thing I think is like if Frankie, and this used to be what like OMB Brett would do, like if you value this guy in the PGA, it's not hard to be like, where would you want to sit? Like when Brett would book ridiculous flights, but like, well, I thought you wanted to do it this way. It's like, well, I'm right here, just ask. So I would go Patrick Reed as well. Quickly, before you go into the next subject, Riggs, I'm hearing all sorts of stuff on the U versus Whitney golf.
By the way, I think we need a name for this. Let's work on that. It's very hard to be like the Riggs versus Whitney Classic. We gotta like...
Yeah, we should probably come up with a name.
The Barstool Invitational One or some shit, whatever. Continue.
We've come up with some great rough and rowdy names. We got whoever does that should do that.
Pat's the king of the Pride and Prejudice tagline.
Am I hearing that? Which I will admit, I was like, there's no way we're going to do this. We can't get a computer to work. Golf Tracer is actually going to be involved in this?
Well, it's very realistic because Top Golf owns Top Tracer.
They love
it. Top Golf our demographic and all that. So they've been trying to advertise with us for a long time. So it's going to we do it business wise. We have to bring a lot of buckets into the mix, but I think we should be able to do it.
Wow, that would be crazy.
Which would be really cool.
The other option, which Frankie told me today, which isn't just a you thing, and golfers wouldn't do it, but this would be the best thing that's ever happened to golf, is the heart rate monitors.
I'm in. Yeah, I know.
So Frankie was saying they want to put heart rate monitors on him.
Oh my God.
Before putt, you see what's going on. Whitney,
Terrible for you guys.
Whitney texted me. He's like, "We're not fucking doing the heart rate monitor." So I was like, "We're doing the heart rate monitor." Like,
that's actually great. If you know that you rattled from it.
That is great for golf. Period.
Period. They should all do that.
Yeah.
We said like we found out somebody submitted that as like a
heart rate, all sorts of measures.
They're over a putt, and all of a sudden the heart rate's way up.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Somebody emailed that to us like a month ago, and we were like, "That is, I don't know." The fact that we haven't thought about that is crazy.
So obviously, if Whitney responds that quickly, that means, I mean, his
once
heart rate would be
through the goddamn
roof.
Once he texted me, was like, "I've been seeing tweets about a heart rate monitor. Where is that?" I talked to
you
about Biz. I was like,
it.
"Biz,
we
heart
need
rate monitor."
I mean, I'm being this serious. That's not just for this tournament, which it would. That's great. That would be a
game changer.
One of those things where down the road to be like, I can't believe we ever watched golf without
that's
a
like the yellow line.
Four teeth.
Imagine two watching the betting lines change.
Yeah,
this guy's over a 6-footer.
If you could do it, a heart rate monitor. I don't really know. If you could do it where it's not like cumbersome, I mean,
yeah,
brilliant.
That would be the problem. Honestly, whoever wins determines everything. But if Whitney's out there like heart racing and everything, and you're cool and collected. I mean, that right there alone could determine
never
whether
mind
or
that.
Or
with us like chirping them and just watching their heart pressure. So I hope that happens. We have a Wet Willie assault in the news. This was an interesting one. So girlfriend comes home from work or something. Boyfriend's drunk on the ground. The girlfriend and her daughter leave. He goes with them in the car and then Wet Willie'd her and got arrested. I did not know you could get arrested.
Oh.
And I was waiting for the details, by the way. You think you can get arrested?
I mean, I just think the wet willy is one of the most disrespectful moves in the world. It's up there with the wedgie. I think it should be punishable by
girlfriend. No, no. If you just go up to like someone you don't know that like who. If Michigan man came in, Dave Safari came back.
And he wet willy you?
No, I wet willy him. That's assault, brother. But if it's like boyfriend, girlfriend, wet willy's a fair game.
It must have been pretty vicious to get assault. I want to say my brother's like 4 years older than I am. We used to have a minivan growing up. And anytime that he knew my mom had to get gas, so she would be out of the car for a minute.
And you were kind
of
captive.
Would let me take shotgun. And I'd be like, oh, great. And I fell for it every fucking time. He'd be like, you can get shotgun. Second she got out and shut the door, he would grab the left side of my head and then wet willy me from the right side.
I mean, you really fell for that like more than twice.
I was young. Like I was like fucking six or something.
And you wanted a shotgun.
And it was every couple months that it would work out where he knew we had to get gas. So it just fucking worked out. And I couldn't get out of it. I'd be screaming in the fucking car.
I used to be a camp counselor. And I would.
I hate wet willy.
I would swirly people.
No,
the campers, all the time.
You did a true blue, held them upside
down? Held them over, flushed the toilet, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was like an urban, like
no.
a myth.
No.
You actually put these kids' heads in
toilets?
Oh, yeah,
I was a torturer.
You and McShay, that was the shadiest camp in the world.
We were torturous campers.
You basically were assaulting little children.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine his evil laugh, too, while children are just, like, they're drowning.
Oh, yeah.
He's waterboarding children.
McShay in the background. Like,
I've told this story 1,000 times. We had rival, I think we both had third grades. There were 2 third grades at the camp. McShay was the counselor of one. I was the other.
Kickball.
And we had this kickball rivalry. And my best player, like, just took the ball after and pegged it off some kid's face from like an inch away. McShay saw it. Kid's crying.
You didn't see nothing.
Like this kid, I was like, I didn't see anything, brother. Like, I didn't see nothing. It was like the second inning.
That story's great, but
that kid.
How many kids did you swirl?
It was just if you started acting up and you wouldn't listen.
One is too many, to be honest.
No, it's like, listen, if you don't listen to me, there's going to be consequences. That's why I couldn't
be a
teacher.
And there was no consequences for you?
No.
Like nobody went home and was like, Dave put my head in a fucking toilet? And flushed it?
Yeah,
I mean, that is wildly inappropriate.
I
don't want to sound soft
bro,
to you.
Bro,
like you're putting someone's head in a used toilet?
Listen,
I don't know.
I was a camp counselor, things were different. I had my buddy.
It was like the 70s.
I told a fucking ghost story to these kids that there was this lunatic, Mr. X, who was like killed little kids and would run around. And
Is this a DP original? Like it's totally made up?
Yeah.
Mr. X.
Okay. And then there was a camp sleepover. I had my buddy dress up in all black with a big X over a ski mask. He popped out of a porta potty and just sprinted after everybody. These kids were crying their eyes out. It was great.
Honestly, you are a sick pup. This is what you have here. You're just a camp counselor, just torturing all your fucking camp members.
Every fucking thing we learn about you makes so much sense.
Yeah, really. You've just been like a little funhouse of horrors since you were fucking 15.
That's like what it was. Like you see Dazed and Confused. That like I'm not that
Can
old.
Can you
but
still paddle people?
I was gonna say
paddling was out, but Mr. X
you
was
ever
in.
You ever do an awful waffle?
No, I don't know what that is.
You like that one's weird. The awful waffle. You ever see that?
No.
Don't you like spray fucking syrup all over their stomach?
I got
and hit
fired.
Them with
I did racket? Eventually get fired from this camp.
Oh, it makes sense. You were torturing
another sleepover. I just was like, I don't want to stay with these kids. I can't sleep, so I just went home, and I came back early in the morning, and I had them all convinced. Another counselor fucking ratted on me. He's like, you know, Dave just left the kids alone. It's like, shut your mouth, rat.
That was the best rundown story ever.
I got fired for that. There's a guy, I guess, in Cleveland, a Chief Wahoo activist, who every game is out, like, shaming people with the Chief Wahoo. And this is such a tough one because it's such a great logo, but I get how, I guess, people could be offended. But the main guy has just been busted, like, stealing $400,000 or something worth of grants that's supposed to go to the Native Americans. Tough to be. It's like, just,
it's always that way, man.
Yeah, it's always, I hate gays, you're gay.
Always, yes, right.
Every time, 100%.
Yeah, the hypocrisy, somebody who gets caught with hypocrisy just makes you feel good every time.
It does.
You know, it's like.
That's like the number one thing I hate in life, hypocrisy.
Right, and so when a guy gets fucking caught, you just like, reading that story, I just like smiled. I was like, fuck this guy.
As far as the Wahoo, it is just too good of a.
It's such a good
And
logo.
You know what the thing is? I was talking about this thing with Cole the other day. Like, it's a caricature. Like, the redskin is just like a fucking Native American guy who's totally red. At least
Chief Wahoo's got red skin.
Yeah, but it's a cartoon.
The redskin logo is awesome too, if we're being. I mean, granted, I'm not in the group that's being made fun of, so what do I know? If enough people are offended, you gotta get rid of it. But they are both. I shouldn't say they're just classic. We like grew up with them, you know?
Wahoo was basically, or I thought it was already gone. They're still
apparently they're still doing it. Now you could probably actually Tate wrote a very good blog about it. To be honest, he's like, I get it. We've grown up with it. You could probably redo that logo in a way that it's similar, but not like as nearly offensive. Yeah. Or I don't know. It's like Florida State. Like they get along with the Seminole. Like they're the Seminole is actually
well,
the guy
Seminole
who puts the thing.
Well, Seminole is just like Redskin is a kind of a slur. Right, Seminole is just the name of the tribe.
Speaking of hypocrisy, remember the story? We talked about it. There was a homeless vet who helped out a couple whose car broke down as a thank you. They started a GoFund. The guy naturally made a shit ton of money, $400K. I'm using that figure a lot, so my guess is the Native American guy.
It was $77,000, the Native American.
It was not even close to $400.
Yeah. A little fact check, nice.
But honestly, if you're stealing from, like, what's it matter? Anyways, this couple will not give the money to the homeless vet. They're spending it themselves. They went on radio or TV and said, I'd rather burn it all than give it to him because he just go through it himself. They don't trust him. So now that's becoming a big issue.
I didn't know they like tripled down on
it. Oh, yeah. They're like, I'd rather burn it than give it to him.
There's some bad blood there.
Because I was about to say, like, well, now that they've been shamed, they're clearly going to give it to him, but I guess not.
No, they're like doubling down. I will say, like, I do feel like the worst thing you can give a homeless person is money. Right, you give them like breakfast.
Yeah,
but
them, well, it's better than giving them absolutely nothing.
Or
and
have
letting
a third
them
party.
Homeless.
Or have a third party. Speaking of that, we go to our donations are done for Officer Chesna. I got to figure out if anyone's watching the best way to give them the money. We have a big fat check for that family. That obviously that tragedy, but it reminded me. Hold, we got to get that money. So if anyone knows the best way to do that, sorry to go serious on that. We got to figure that out because I'm sorry to go serious on that. Because we're back into normal rundown flow, which is a toddler was on Philly News, and they're like showing him the girl draw, and she just drew a dick.
Just that. And I mean, a blatant dick.
And the reaction of like the crew was stunned.
Yeah, they're
like,
yep. Not one like nobody was able to roll with it. It was just a bunch of noises.
Yeah, somebody actually just said like sorry right away.
And the camera just stayed on it. It was like. Somebody do something.
Like basically like zoomed in on the dick.
What was it? Like, what were they trying to draw? It was like an arm, like
maybe an elephant or something?
Looked like a dick.
Project right onto here.
Okay.
So where she's drawing?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Hold. It's been working perfectly and then we get, you're totally good. Hold on 1 second, okay? Wait your turn, kiddo. We'll see how it goes. Is it
going
to
go now?
This is a perfect
like
dick and balls.
Dick. Like huge balls and a dick.
This is big controversy over in Shanghai. So they do pigeon racing. Everyone knows Mike Tyson's a big pigeon racer. And this is almost like a Rosie Ruiz Boston Marathon situation. These two people brought pigeons and smuggled the pigeons onto a bullet train and then got off the train like released the pigeons who flew to victory.
What a move.
You get 160 grand. The problem is they had the whole thing mistimed and they like shattered every pigeon record. Like it physiologically is impossible for pigeons to go that fast. So they killed the pigeons to hide the evidence.
Well, that seems a little
and
unfair.
Then they did not collect the prize, but it's still a major controversy.
Where was this? Which country?
Shanghai.
Do they publicly shame people there?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Good. Then I want to see.
Yeah, they will.
Shaming.
And they actually said if they tried to collect the money, it would have been much more extreme public shaming. That's like a direct quote.
I guess if you don't collect the prize, it's kind of no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah. Well, they killed the pigeons.
Yeah, that seems. It's not the pigeons' fault.
No, you. By the way,
kill the fucking.
This seems
cheaters.
Like something you should be able to figure out. You get off the bullet train, fine.
Just wait. Yeah.
They are ruthless to animals over there. They're like, those pigeons are tainted forever. Yeah, they're not going to, what are they going to do with those pigeons?
They probably just like smush
like
them
sharks.
Too.
Right, you know what I mean? Those pigeons are done.
That's the last rundown of the week. What do we got?
Of the summer,
yeah. College football starts up. We have two shows launching next week. We have our college football show that will launch a week from Saturday. And then we also have our NFL gambling show that's going to launch, which will be on TV in selected markets. We're figuring out all those details now.
Can you clear up? So what is? Oh wait, I don't know. Do people know?
Well, they know me is me, Dan, Stu.
Okay,
they know
what
that.
Show is that? That's NFL or
that's NFL.
Okay.
College is myself.
And that will be on TV.
Yes. Yeah. College is an internet show that'll be on 10 a.m. That's myself, Casey, and Dan. We will travel to four games. Again, I get a little nervous saying because so much shifts, but I believe so. Don't hold me to this. Wisconsin, Michigan. We're going to A&M against LSU, I believe. We are going to World's Largest Cocktail Party and then Big Ten Championship. I think those will be road games through the show there. It's a lot of football stuff. A lot of football stuff coming up.
Next time we're back, it'll be full swing.
Yeah, in the midst. We'll big, by the way, huge college football weekend this weekend. The right Pick'em podcast is out. I had a 27-game card. I guess Rico was, like, fucking with me and being like, here's my Heisman Trophy winners, and just picking names. And I had no idea who he was talking about. He was just making up names.
Were you going with it?
Well, I was going with it in a sense, like, I don't know who that is.
Okay, but you weren't like, No, I agree.
I'm like, I've never heard of that guy.
You got to get kicked off the
show.
No, I was just
like, I've never heard of that guy, and this seems stupid.
But I actually think that he probably expected you to do that.
What's that?
I bet you he thought you were going to be like, oh, yeah, the kid out of Nebraska. Yeah.
Now, he was saying names I guess I should have kind of known, like, after, like, how do you not know who, like, Teddy DuPay is, which I still kind of don't know who that is. He had a guy from The Sopranos. He had, like, the quarterback from Friday Night Lights. I didn't know any of them. I just kept being like, I don't know who you're talking about.
So it was like he really thought he was right on the edge of trapping you.
I mean, we had a thing. He had like a Rutgers defensive end he picked who was something from The Sopranos. And I just kept being like, you're picking a Rutgers defensive end? Like, how stupid. Did you know he was fucking with me?
I wasn't in the room.
Yeah. So, no.
I mean, listen, if you're going to try to pull that prank on Dave Portnoy, you are the worst with names. You are the worst. I mean, that's the worst prank.
And I'm also not somebody who's like, I know who you're talking about. Like, I have no idea who you mean. And I'm very open that, like, every season I start over with my eyes. So, yeah.
Him recording that, by the way, back to the camera, hood up.
Oh, yeah.
He's just ridiculous. He's just a ridiculous human.
But I love it.
I still don't understand, like.
He lives in a different time.
I can't get into Rico, but it's just like, what would happen if they saw your face doing, like, nothing would
happen. Well, he'd freeze to death like he did that time he came in.
I never saw someone's brain shut down. He went brain dead for a solid 30 seconds.
He also brought in, like, a stack of papers, like, this big for all of us and all these spreadsheets, like, with the weather and, like, he had a whole column that was just verse. Like, he had a verse column. Like, the two teams, was like, clearly they're playing each other. But it was a whole, every time he typed out verse. Odd.
Good.
That's what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what he's supposed to be.
Miles traveled to the East, color charted. It was something. That's his old thing. I love it. He literally will call the ticket office and ask how tickets are moving. It's crazy.
Is he a permanent fixture on the show?
Yeah, he's in this year.
Are you going to be going?
We're
going to
get the mush involved somehow.
Because, you know, you're betting many, many more units than him, and he's going to be freaking out over his, like,
No, because he freaks out. Like, he freaks out. I don't mind it if
you usually get mad when people are betting small money.
I get mad when it doesn't, like, everyone has different.
It's all proportional.
Correct.
You gotta be betting enough to your own income.
If you are getting your life screwed up as much as I am, I'm fine with it.
Okay, got it. That's fair.
Yeah.
No, I dig that. That's fine.
It's like you can't be betting like something you don't care about and celebrating, and I'm like, I bet the most I can possibly bet without, like, really fucking up my life, but still fucks it up. So.
Yeah, like, if you lose, it, like, ruins your week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, that
ruins everybody.
To be honest.
Like, when Dave loses, true. I'm like, fuck, here we go.
True. To be honest, you're not really, like, a gambler. I mean, you are, but a true gambler just always bets the more you make, the more you bet. I mean, that's just, right, Mush? I mean, like, there's no point in gambling if you don't care who wins or loses. So, we got to get Mush. Mush will get involved in gambling. That's one of the reasons we hired him, too.
Kevin's right. We'll be rooting for you.
What's that?
I won last night. It was a big night.
Good. Yeah, like, we're going to have that talk, Mush. Like, you shouldn't be proud to be a Mush. No one wants to be a Mush.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to win finally.
Yeah, nice to get one.
Yeah.
All right. All right. That's the rundown.
Nice to get one.